we could finish in a couple minutes.
Oh boy, yeah.
That's good, staff.
That's right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our Aiken City Council work session of February 10th. And as you know, we've been reviewing the zoning for the old master plan, and tonight we start on review of the goals. So without further ado, Mr. LeDuc, would you like to lead off, sir?
Yes, sir. We have 25 goals to look at. And we've covered some of these in some generality as we look at the land plan itself. What I'd like to do tonight is go over the specific goals, and we could probably look at it page by page. We do have some suggestions, and when I say we, I'm talking about, I guess it primarily was just you and I, Ed, that met many months ago and looked at word-for-word changes that we might want to make. And so we have a couple of them, and why don't I lead off on page one with our suggestions, and then any other suggestions you may have we could look at. If you go down to 1.3, where it starts item D, it says add irrigation to many more, if not all, parkways. We feel it should say something more like add irrigation to more parkways as necessary. When we had originally looked at the plan for the parkways, not every parkway are we going to try to go in there and put curb and gutter and irrigation and lots of plants, but to keep several of them more in a natural state with some grass, but especially as you get from the downtown area into more of the fringe areas, we don't see the necessity or the cost that goes along with maintaining an irrigated parkway. It's been that way for, well, since the 1830s, and we will go in there. A good example would be on York Street between Colleton and South Boundary. We went in there, we worked on the grass by fertilizing it, we did some planter beds, but that is non-irrigated, and it looks nice. And we think we get maybe not to that high of an end of quality, but we feel that where it says to irrigate many more, if not all, is not really the principle that we're trying to do on these parkways. So again, we have add irrigation to more parkways as necessary. In item F, it says give small differentiating touches to some or all parkways. And again, we crossed out the word or all, because again, not every parkway do we need to go ahead and start putting in benches and fountains, public art. But you know, maybe you want to do that to some parkways, but not all parkways. So that's a couple of changes that we'd like to make in the wording, at least in that first section.
Before we change pages or turn pages, Jane and Don, Pat, you may have some other things. Do you have any?
The only thing about the benches and that, to me, you would want that in the downtown commercial area where there's large. I'm not sure you'd even want them in the residential parkways.
Absolutely.
I think that's, to me, that's where, like across from our bank, you know, when you got all that commercial area there, where you got people that are working, and at lunch they could go across. Those type of would be fine, but the other parkways, I would say do it in the closer to where the commercial areas are would make some sense to me. So, and I agree with that. I'm just concerned about how much more we can irrigate. I'm concerned about that, but
I agree. I was worried about the public art bit too.
Yeah,
that is a touchy subject. I mean, I love art, and mm-hmm. so does and apple pie and all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. But it is so touchy when you start talking. You know, the people from Somerville buy that beautiful sculpture and things that they do at that festival they have, and they still say that it's a very controversial. You know, they still get a lot of grief about it, and I thought that the parkways were supposed to be green, simple, as not as low maintenance as we could make them, but we do express a hope that they will be low maintenance and informal in many cases. And when you start putting in works of art and all sorts of other things. They're no longer that. They're I really don't think it belongs in the parkways.
I think this is one of, wasn't there, are we just staying on this one section right now, right?
Yeah, I've got a couple of comments on the first page. I just wondered if you all did.
Thank you.
The same thing that Rogers mentioned, not all the parkways, also would refer, at least in my view, to 1.2C, where it says, use plantings that are low maintenance and informal in non-arterial parkways. And to me, that indicates you'd put them in all parkways. That's not what we do, though. We have many, many, many parkways that don't have anything in them but trees and some grass and pine needles. So I think we've got to be careful there also. For the same reasons as we would irrigation. A couple of terms here that, and this may be picking a little bit, but I don't think so, that maybe need to be defined a little bit better. In goal one, protect, maintain, enhance the existing parkways and reestablish old ones and establish new ones. Now, reestablish. There's got to be some limits, I think, to it. What are we talking about when we say reestablish?
I read that to mean any of the old Aiken, under the old Aiken master plan of the original layout, that if there's some that were cut-throughs that shouldn't have been cut-throughs, that we're trying to try to get those back. But I was somewhat confused on it myself, but that's why I read it. I don't disagree with that plan, but...
I just didn't know to what extent, you know, we ought to define that. Because as we know, what, a year or so ago, Park Commission came to us with a number of parks with cut-throughs. And some we agreed to, the majority council agreed to do, and others council agreed not to do.
It is defined very specifically on the next page.
Okay.
Where it says, under 1.5, reestablish old parkways and establish new ones. If you're asking as to what they're trying to say,
yes. Mm-hmm. Extend. Well, I didn't take it to mean just those few, though. The goal speaks of all, does it not? Or all that need it, not just ones on Williamsburg and Buford.
Well, they're saying such as Williamsburg, Buford.
All right.
Now, there may be others, but...
Okay, what is the such as then? I mean, who's going to make the determination? We don't want to get into a situation where we get into some kind of a argument about, well, that needs to be reestablished. No, that's not the intent. We need to put this in it. We need to put that in. And maybe it can't be defined a whole lot, but it seems like it needs some definition to me. Also, frequent maintenance, back up there, 1.2A. What are we going to say is frequent maintenance? Is there standard maintenance now?
Yes.
Okay. Should we say something like the standard maintenance schedule or something that's a little bit more defined?
Some parkways we do every week, some are 2 weeks, and some are on three-week schedules.
All right. Well, is that the definition then of frequent?
That's what I would say. Unless, Ed, you all had something different.
You know, sometimes simplicity is the best. Maybe it's better for a goal is to protect, maintain, and enhance parkways. Which you can read that and then you get more specific on the 1.5 exactly what you're going to do. There's no question we want to protect, maintain, and enhance parkways, whether existing or there may be some old ones we want to try to reestablish, but I don't even know where they are. I'd have to look at each one individually. And we talk about this Williamsburg deal. You go down Williamsburg, those people where that parkway is, They think that's their yard. So we go in there and start establishing that parkway in there.
Right.
We're going to have a house full of people here. So we need to know what we're asking for here.
Well, back to A here. I think if we took the word frequent out, it would make sense since we have a schedule on a regular maintenance schedule. We have a schedule, right? So it's that particular schedule, whatever it may be. I think the word frequent kind of confuses me a little bit.
That
frequent
probably
maintenance schedule.
I just assumed that came up because there were probably a few parks that people felt particularly needed attention, and they wanted a word like frequent in there because they felt, well, like Whitney Park. I hear so many comments about that, you know, that little triangular park on the corner of South Boundary and Chesterfield Street.
Well, my only point is, what is frequent?
Yeah. But I bet that's where it came
from. If it's the regular maintenance schedule that they already have, why not just say on the maintenance schedule or the existing maintenance schedule or whatever it may be at the time? Okay. Beautify existing and new parkways. Certain north side parkways need additional trees. It's the same kind of thing. Beautify existing and new parkways, period. We're not going to beautify every parkway. Certain north side parkways need additional trees. And somebody will come up here and say, well, that's a parkway. And somebody else will say, no, that's not what I meant. It's not that parkway. Does anybody else feel like these things are kind of out there somewhere? And this is going to go into the comprehensive plan, is that right? Or it'll be a part of that plan, I think. Isn't that right, Roger?
Ed?
Ed? Okay, this is going to be part of that comprehensive plan? Okay. So I guess that's why I feel like some of these things ought to be defined a little tighter than just frequent, reestablish. Develop properly scaled fountains for key intersections with consideration for thermetic elements. How about consider developing? We don't want a fountain in every intersection. Well, it says key intersection. What's a key intersection? Okay, I'm going to stop talking. Nobody seems to agree with me.
Well, I agree on the fountain bit. I don't think we need one in every key intersection either. I don't want it to look like that's our goal in life, is to get a fountain at every key intersection in town.
I understand where you're coming from. I think it's important that this is, I read this as a general guideline, and we still got to go through the specifics as far as, I mean, we're going to, some of these things you say, well, how many trees we're going to plant. I mean, that's a general statement, but I really don't have a problem with, but it's got to be put in a reasonable term. This is a general guideline for a goal. It's hard to get specific on them because I could have some real problems with them. But I agree with Jane on some of this public art stuff. I think we've got to be real careful with that. I mean, that's just my opinion.
Well, as long as we understand it's general, and when we get to it, we have a question, and these are guidelines, a comprehensive plan's a guide for us to use. And we've had a few discussions about that in the past on some issues.
Roger,
pick this thing apart.
How do we work from the standpoint of our horticulturists saying we want to get a particular trees going in certain parts? I mean, how does that work? I mean, do they, the park commission does that?
He works with the park commission, and then it has to be put in the budget, you know, what their plans are.
When we
get into a neighborhood and we're going to change a parkway or the right-of-way streetscape in a neighborhood area, we generally go to the neighborhood and make sure that they feel comfortable with it.
Do we know, I mean, are they specific from knowing what particular trees are in a particular parkway, that if one dies that they want to try to replace that? I mean, is it that specific?
In the early 90s and surveyed every tree in every parkway.
So we know that.
Yeah, you know, there's like 7,000-8,000 trees in our parkways.
So, I mean, we have, in other words, if somebody wants to put Magnolia's a bad example, but of dogwoods or, like they do at Augusta National, where every hole has a particular tree. In other words, that's kind of what they do.
And again, there's a lot of parkways that have very few trees, and there's a lot of some parkways that have too many trees.
Mm-hmm.
These are just guides and ideas that they threw out there. We just didn't want it to look like we're going to be doing every one of these things, especially anytime in the near future, which is why we felt some of the word changing had to be here. But again, whatever words you want to change, that's fine. This came from the committee.
Mm-hmm. Right. That last item there, G, beautify new roundabouts if constructed. Why don't we just say beautify circles and roundabouts? If we construct one, then it's there. It's covered.
So what are you wanting to put there?
Well, I would suggest taking out the word new and if constructed, and just say beautify circles and roundabouts. We have circles in town, a lot of them. I think all of them happen to be beautified, but if we're just going to pinpoint roundabouts, we might as well say beautiful. Well,
there's not a roundabout in the downtown area.
Oh, no, I know that.
This
we only
is
have
just
one roundabout, but
this
that's
is
why I say circles and roundabouts.
Okay, so you want all the circles beautified? Is that what you're asking?
Are all the circles beautified now?
Yes.
Two downtown are.
They're all beautified now.
Yeah. And the roundabout will soon be beautified, too.
But this is, again, master plan for Old Aiken.
Okay. They say if new roundabouts are good.
I think they were just trying to say that if
okay,
we do build
leave the new roundabouts in then, if it's be specific, just for downtown.
Later on, they're going to talk about adding roundabouts in the downtown area, or in the Old Aiken area. Again, if you want them.
No, leave it the way it is.
All right. The question on 1.5A, is that what Williamsburg Extension means?
That's exactly what it means.
All right.
There's a number of people in the one of the quadrants, Ed or Sandra, I assume this was with the group that was in the Northeast District, wanted Williamsburg to be a Parkway Street. Bill, you were probably in that group, weren't you?
I came to some of the meetings, yes, but I really wasn't on the
okay.
But this is one of the streets that we had in the north side. Some other residents recommended that we try to establish a parkway, whether it's one way street map.
It would be, this would be a really a long range. It would be difficult for several reasons. There's a number of trees that would have to be cut where the new road would have to go. It also would be very expensive to do it. But again, if that's something that council wants to see us to try to reestablish some of these, we could try to do so.
Why don't we add the word consider?
Consider extending?
Yeah. Because you're going to have to consider it. I mean, if you don't, then you're saying you're going to do it.
Yeah.
How can we sit here and say we're going to do it without first considering it?
Same thing with number C under 1.5. Here it says continue Park Avenue as a four-lane. We think it should be studied. Study Park Avenue as a four-lane. I mean, do we really want to go in there and continue Park Avenue as a four-lane? You'd be right up against the railroad with the roadway.
Right.
Up in 1.4B, where it says limit truck traffic, we said try to limit truck traffic. Again, it's going to be impossible to eliminate all the trucks that are going to go ahead and maybe damage overhanging branches and trees. Our garbage trucks go down every street, moving vans, other type of delivery type trucks. So we could try to limit it, but to be very honest, it's going to be very difficult to limit it at all.
That's right.
I mean, it's a great goal, but it, I mean, it's an almost impossible goal.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Try to.
The curb and gutter is not, is it, we don't mean just any area with commercial use.
Which one's that, Jane?
I'm sorry, 14E.
Okay.
There sure are a lot of parkways with commercial uses on them that don't have curbs and gutters at the right now, especially when you get start going east.
Yeah, and again, they would like to see it. Like right now, we're installing curb and gutter along the parkway from the railroad bridge on Newberry Street to Park Avenue.
That's great, too.
Along George's Funeral Home. A couple of years ago, we did it up near First Presbyterian Church. And I believe the goal, or what they're trying to say, is if not, then you will have a lot of individuals parking those parkways when they're not defined as to where to park. But again, we can go ahead and use more instead of just install, but install where possible or install as necessary.
I just don't want that to become a rule for everybody.
Right, and I agree, and we don't want it either.
I don't.
So how about if we say install as necessary or where necessary?
Where necessary.
Because we're talking about money, too, here.
Yeah.
And if we say we're going to put them in every place that's adjacent to a commercial use.
The other thing that one has to be concerned about is 90% of the tree roots are within 12 inches of the top of the ground. Your curb and gutter goes down 14 inches into the ground, so that means every tree root is going to be cut on that side of the tree. So if you look at a 360-degree circle, probably around 40% of the tree roots are going to be severed completely, which is not healthy for a tree, obviously. So, again, we have to be very careful as to what we do and where those trees are, the condition of the trees. And if it's not necessary, we don't want to put it in there. And also, as the mayor said, it's expensive.
I just think curb and gutter is a lot harder on trees than occasionally someone putting two wheels in the parkway on
Much
the
harder.
Morning. You know.
Mm-hmm. Other changes to this page?
Up at the top, H. Pardon me. Use plannings, I want to just understand this a little bit better. Use plannings to define characteristics of the adjacent neighborhood and create a sense of place. Now, does this mean as we go from one neighborhood to another neighborhood, we have different sorts of plants or trees or whatever?
It's possible. I'll give you a good example. Obviously, you go down South Boundary and you have all live oaks. You go down Park Avenue and it's primarily all magnolias. There might be some other areas that you want to have certain theme within the parkways to identify a neighborhood. We don't have that now, but it is possible. Mm-hmm. And we may want to look at that in the future.
Okay. Everybody ready to turn the page?
Mm-hmm. The same thing as we've done in some of the other areas in 2.1A. Study and feasible, you know, then we would get involved to prepare street. In other words, to put the biggest thing that individuals ask us right now is we want more street lights. And if we put a street light at every location that people have asked for it, we'd have it about every second or third house. And each street light, we pay anywhere from $7 to $13 depending per month, depending on what type of light we have. Our bill last year was $220,000 for street lights for the city. And it's going up every year because we keep adding more street lights as we get in the downtown, adding those, some of these new lamps and other areas that we're doing this. So again, I think we have to be very careful as to where and how come we put street lights in areas and therefore it should be studied, and if feasible, then we would go ahead and implement a street lighting plan.
Does the do we determine that, or we determine that with SCNG, or?
Well, SCNG would love to have us have more streetlights. What we do is we put them at every intersection, and then if it's a dangerous situation, and it's always been the streetlights are not really there for pedestrian as much as vehicular. And so if it's a very long block, we might put one in between. If it's a dangerous situation, it could be a curve, vertical or horizontal, we may want to put something in there. Public safety comes to us with a need, we'll consider it. Otherwise, we just don't put them in. We say no. And that's been a fairly standing policy we've always had. Now in the downtown, we've gone away from that somewhat. Again, but that's more pedestrian-friendly area that we're trying to provide a sense of protection and safety. But in these other areas, again, the answer, and we could study it, and if it's feasible, then we could look at it. One other thing, just so you know, with the streetlights we have, because they are so expensive, we're paying over $10 a month for the ones in the downtown area, these fluted lamps that we have. We are going back to SCNG with a proposal to take them over. And so we're going to start putting meters out at various locations and metering them. And then we'll change the light bulbs out. Because we think $13, or I think it's either $12 or $13 a month. It's over $140 every year to maintain one of those things. And it's, we think it's way too much. So we're going to get into the street lighting business.
So SCNG charges the city that much to maintain them? Aside from the energy, aside from
that would include the energy. But again, these lights don't involve that much energy.
So without the maintenance, it wouldn't be nearly that expensive.
That's correct.
Don't they own the globe? We just own the base?
Yes, that's why we're working out an arrangement on the ones that are already installed. Under number 2.2E, study and, if feasible, implement on the north side of Park Avenue right away, create a pedestrian promenade with amenities. Again, we just don't think we should go ahead and have, unless you want to have on the north side of Park Avenue right away, a pedestrian promenade with amenities such as wide walkways, benches, shade trees.
What would you mean, right downtown?
I believe they're talking about beyond Union Street.
Yeah, from Union beyond way up.
Okay.
You know, okay, beyond going east.
Going east. We already have a wide sidewalk up until that point.
Yeah.
So Ed and I thought they were talking about on the north side beyond Union Street. So again, we were saying studying, if feasible, implement this idea.
Because that might not be. We talked about that at a council meeting. Remember that?
It may be a good thing, may not be a good thing. You know, we just need to look at. Right now, there's a lot of vacant lots along there. Tiger Revere owns several of them.
There are sidewalks too already.
There's sidewalks. Yeah. It's a 4.5 foot wide sidewalk.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I think study it, like you said. Right?
Item number 2.1B, again, the decorative streetlights were originally designed to go in the downtown area only. They were not designed to go throughout the entire area because every one of them, the light pole itself is $600. That's just for the fiberglass pole. You have to pour a foundation. Altogether, you got $1,000 invested in one of those, where you could go ahead with a what they call the fiberglass whip, what you see in most of the new subdivisions. It's a black pole with a acorn light standard typically on the top of it, and you get those for a couple hundred dollars. So to go ahead and use the decorative street lights, again, we need to be very careful, as in my opinion, where all we put them, because of the cost and the maintenance that's going to be involved with them.
Now, the taller ones we don't use, need to use as many of, is that right?
That's correct. And what Jane is talking about is in the downtown area, most of them are 12 feet, but if you go further out on Park Avenue, you'll now see we got them at 18 feet. Because they were at 12 feet. The design committee that originally studied those lights didn't want them to be shining into the second-story apartments in the downtown area. At 18 feet, they'd be up, you know, right into the light of the windows up there. Well, as you go further on out into other areas, there are no apartments. Mm-hmm. They're one-story buildings. So by having a light at a higher height, it spreads out and catches a bigger area.
Mm-hmm. Roger, do we have a improvement lighting plan that we do, or we just do it in new sections, or what is the plan?
As we're going along and putting the streetscape in the downtown area, that's where we're putting the lighting in. Other areas, though, like when we get into the Tool Hill area, Ashton Oaks, we're putting these fiberglass whips in with the
specifically Chesterfield Street, where we're trying to get, you know, housing is in there. Is that planned for anything?
That's not in the downtown area. The downtown area would typically stop at Barnwell Avenue. Now, we did go up Lawrence Street all the way because it was an entrance roadway into the city. Then we went out Richland Avenue all the way out east and west. Again, the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Roger, let me ask, on F, item F, 22F, what's the idea there? Encourage connectivity to Colleton Avenue. Is that perhaps sidewalks going from Park to Colleton? And you go, of course, you go over the bridges, and then. Yeah. Anything other than sidewalks? I mean, is that?
Trying to increase commercial activity in that part of Park Avenue. And there is, it's very funny because the Colton area is like a walk. So the idea was to try to get at least one walking area where they would draw them into the park. And then as we get more shops and the farmers market expands, we start getting more shoppers.
With any particular streets or just right. All of the streets down
the
Park?
I want to focus on Greensburg because that leads to the
okay. Okay. The other one too, G, the last item there on that page, provide transit shelters. I thought it might be better to put where appropriate because you can't necessarily, maybe you can't necessarily put a transit shelter for people catching the buses at every spot. It may not be the land there where you can do it or for other reasons. And unless council wants to say provide them.
I had a big question mark about that, about how they would work, how they get it designed. I mean, how many of those you need? How many spots do they, Roger, every?
Well, right now they don't have designated spots. They stop wherever people want to catch a ride or be left off.
We did downtown.
I see people sitting on the curb at several locations, yeah. And when the bus comes by, they flag it and it stops and picks people up. Now, if they want to get some, because they have come to us before, not they, but some people have come to us asking about shelters, and you got to be very careful as to how those will eventually look because of the graffiti and individuals that might use the shelters for more than just waiting for buses. It becomes a difficult issue at times.
Mm-hmm. But I do understand in some cases that if some people can't stand and wait, they have to have a place to sit down. And maybe we could just have one or two places like that. I agree with you, though. It's going to be tricky to put it.
Mm-hmm. Where do you put them and how often do you put them? And
I would suggest that we find out from the... This is from Good Friend Express. I mean, that's the... Is that who we're talking about? Okay.
I imagine so.
And just say that where are their major pickups now? We try to work when we only have two or so. I mean, where people know that they can have something, but having them all over the city don't make any sense. I mean,
I think it would be great.
Maybe, you know, the farmers market may be one where they've already got some shelter, you know, that they would be in areas that we know people are going to congregate anyway, and we try to do it there. But I would say study this one.
Okay, we'd either put study or investigate providing transit shelters.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll look at that.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, any other things on this page?
Nope.
Okay. Changes we have here under 2.3C. We crossed out the word schools, install decorative trash containers in areas such as parks, not in parkways, schools, and appropriate street locations. We don't feel we should be getting into the business of providing trash containers for schools.
No.
Under item F, where it says remove the SC&G substation at the corner of Chesterfield Street and Hampton Avenue, discuss with SC&G the removal. I mean, we've talked to them in the past about that. That's probably not going to happen in our lifetime.
It sure is.
Chesterfield and Hampton, they got a big substation up there.
Yeah, I know.
You just don't move those things. We might be able to get a better screen.
Yeah,
do something like this.
Why don't we say something about that? Yeah.
How about if we say discuss with SC&G the removal or screening?
Mm-hmm.
I think we have more of a likelihood of getting screened than we will, much more likelihood of getting screened than removed.
Right.
Okay, those are the two major items that we had.
Roger, as far as us redoing some of these sidewalks and that kind of stuff, like on the Chesterfield area, that's an ongoing thing, right?
Yes.
That's we know that's going on. And I understand what you're saying about the lighting, but it would be good if we could, at least with the poles that need to be replaced, that we replace them with a better-looking pole than what's there. That's my only concern on some of the areas we're trying to rejuvenate downtown. You know, at least, I'm not talking about an expensive light pole, but if one's damaged or something, we put up the same old pole or replace it with the pole we put in, like in Ashton Oaks or that kind of stuff.
Once you get past the downtown area, all the lighting is on existing wooden poles. So you have a mast arm going off that wooden pole with typically a 400-watt metal halide light.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to say that the designation of the fluted poles are going to be in a certain area, we may want to come to council at some point in time with the idea of putting a less expensive but more decorative light in some of these neighborhoods. But again, I think that may need to be defined as to what neighborhoods and how far from the downtown core to get with that type of lighting.
Yeah.
So again, because once you start doing it, you're going to get requests everywhere to have it done.
I guess what I'm saying is that it is considerably cheaper to just replace it. Let's say if you have a damaged pole, like what happened to our traffic light out here, if something gets damaged, the cost of putting the pole, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying replace them all.
Yeah, because again, also the lighting that's on the wooden poles is all overhead, where the other stuff is almost always all underground.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we could look at that.
Okay, I asked that question because of the trying to redo the homes on that Chesterfield Street, and when you go down there at night, it is very dark, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that the answer may not be the fluted poles, but more.
That's what I'm.
Inexpensive, mm-hmm, something
correct.
We can get done.
Correct.
That's where I'm coming from.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really important. And even in areas that are historic, you know, like Barnwell, we talked about between Rose Hill and Lawrence Street. I mean, I know we'd love beautiful poles there, but good lighting would help some,
mm-hmm,
you know, just so when people walk from there.
Mm-hmm. Item 2.3D,
develop a schedule for burying all electrical and phone and cable lines underground, beginning in the downtown area. That would fall under engineering and public works to develop that schedule. That'd be quite a schedule. That'd be quite a workload to even schedule it, to develop a schedule for that.
We have a lifetime.
That's a worthy goal, but...
You may want to change the time frame.
All?
Short term.
Yeah, short term.
That's just the schedule.
Well, that's just the schedule. You're right, Jane. That's just the schedule. It doesn't say you have to do it, right? It just says develop a schedule.
But even that's going to be difficult, you know, as we talk about varieties.
Absolutely, it is going to be. Do we really want to do that? Do we really want to develop a schedule for all? That word, all.
We'll just leave that out.
You know, there are appropriate places, I think, and places it means more to us to do than other places.
Mm-hmm.
But if all means all...
Well, why don't we take all out and just say develop a schedule for burying electrical phone cable lines.
For burying what? What's your next word?
Just take the word all out.
Yeah, take that out.
And just put where appropriate.
Does it mean anything different, though, Roger, when you take all out?
When you're at the very end of the sentence, put where appropriate,
where Pat appropriate said.
Yeah, if we add another word there, where appropriate. Okay. Anything else on that page?
I only have about 2.4a. Plant large growing shade trees now so that when the other ones mature, they'll already have. Well, I mean, it's, kind of, it's almost like we got to.
Mature.
What they just meant.
I don't know how we do that. I guess we're going to...
Do they mean large growing or fast growing, maybe?
I think just ones that will grow tall, so not just...
Large growing. Well, it may be tall. You know, plant.
In other words, some that will turn into substantial trees eventually. Some things will never become a big tree, you know.
That's part of the tree plan, right, Roger? In other words, we've got that. That's an ongoing thing of trees. Or he's trying to plant trees all the time in certain park areas, and he's trying to, if he sees one that's old and whatever, he'll go ahead and get one planted in there, no matter what park area he's in. So that's part of the overall planning of your parks, is it not?
In the most immediate ones in downtown, now as you go further out in the parkway system, no. We just don't have the manpower right now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's a principle that we want to have.
Well, then it's a good goal.
Yeah. It is a good goal.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ed, let me just ask a question on that. Is that term large-growing, should there be a word in there like large, fast-growing trees? Meaning tall and fast growing, or fast growing tall tree?
It's been 2 years since this was. My assumption would be that this refers to trees that are going to be large when they're mature.
Exactly, but do we say large growing trees? All trees are growing, right? But large growing.
Large growing is a funny term. I can't.
Yeah.
Have a better one right now. But
how about fast-growing tall trees? Is that the intent?
No, fast-growing is not necessarily
fast. Fast-growing isn't the intent?
The ones that get really big aren't fast-growing typically.
Okay. All right. So what's the term there? That doesn't sound right to me to say large-growing. Maybe everybody else understands it.
If you just said plant shade trees now, so they will mature when today's shade trees die. I mean, that's what we're talking about, isn't it? I mean, we're going to be planting. You don't necessarily want to put those pear trees in there that grow very quickly, but when the ice storm comes, they are gone.
I suspect they meant they want a fast-growing tree that's going to be large when it matures to replace those that are to die.
I think what they're saying is if you've got a parkway with oaks in it, mm-hmm. they want oaks planted so when the big oak dies, there's another little oak that's going to be big.
That's not, I, 10 feet tall
that's
now.
That's not 10 feet tall now.
That's 30 feet tall.
First of all, you know, the little one's going to... That's what I think they mean.
I think
but they don't want... those pear trees, or whatever the heck those trees are, that grow like crazy and they sprout out, but by God, every limb will break off at the first ice storm.
Okay, y'all are comfortable then with large growing trees?
Sure.
I think.
Okay.
Do you know what it means?
No.
I do now.
That's the point. That's what I'm trying to get to.
But we feel comfortable with it.
Do you understand it?
Do we have to?
Well, I think I know what the intent is. Where are we?
We're on page 20.
That's not bad.
For whatever reason, I don't have any changes on this one.
Well,
maybe we just ran out of pencil.
2.6 is our public art thing. Oh.
I have, are we on 2.5, 2.6?
Mm-hmm.
I have trouble with 2.6 A and B. I don't know why we need a statue of... I didn't understand that one at all. I think one of the things that makes Hitchcock Wood so unique is we don't have those kind of things. But that's just
yes.
We've got equine statues all over town.
Does anybody know how that came about, the equine statue?
Mike on the Clarion must have been on
the
committee.
I think that was from Mike's idea with the horse. I hate to slam my brother-in-law,
really
but I think it was Mike's. That's a holdover from some.
I remember that one.
And it's not fair to talk about somebody that's not here.
Us, yeah, it is.
But it's probably true.
It might be me next time.
Even if it's your brother.
Yeah, of course. We want to talk about somebody who's here.
Yeah, who wants to do that, right?
I would strike A and B out of that, but that's just my quote.
Establish a commission to recommend. I had the question mark on to make recommendations to who. You know, it doesn't say who.
Sort of like a mission.
You eventually get to city council.
You create a commission, you're going to get
it. It says that in other places, I think.
But, the park commission.
Well,
so strike out B. What about A?
I'd like to strike it out. That's just me.
You are going to establish a commission.
Strike 2.6.
That's going to be making recommendations on a number of different art mm-hmm. subjects.
Mm-hmm.
Which right. This would be included under. Why don't we just leave the whole thing out then if we're going to do that already?
So, I mean, the commission's, it's going to be on the agenda next meeting, next Monday.
Right.
But that's just not for Old Aiken. That's for...
Well, that's for the entire community.
And it's not just for statues and sculptures. It's for activities, too, isn't it?
But it involves public art, though. I mean, if you read, unless I'm mistaken, what I read it over tonight, this afternoon.
But that's one of their missions.
Just one of many missions.
Okay, because of that fact, do you want to take this whole section 2.6 out?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Pat, that's what you said too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Take all of 2.6 out.
Just don't tell Anna Claire.
I'll handle it.
That's what he said, don't tell him.
That's how I'm going to handle it.
Okay, whereabouts? When replaced, design the Lawrence Street Bridge over the railroad cut to match the Newbury Street Bridge. I think we ought to consider that, certainly. But again, you get into a lot of money. That's an expensive bridge. And did the railroad company help pay anything on that? Do you remember, Roger?
The railroad and the state paid for the bridge. We paid for the extra design on the parapet walls. In fact, it came in a couple hundred thousand dollars we put into that Newberry Street Bridge.
The city did.
The city did. Yeah. To give it more of a look that we wanted to have on that bridge.
So that bridge probably cost what, $500,000?
Oh, all of that.
It does say.
So I don't think we can just say replace it.
The point is that they want if another bridge is built, they want it to look more sort of rustic, like the Newberry Street Bridge.
With the sidewalk over it.
Yeah. And that's why they said when replaced, which is probably never going to be in our lifetime, is it?
It says to match the Newberry. Here we get into words, to match the Newberry Street Bridge. Do you want to say consider or?
But you could say similar, but not match. I mean, that gives us a little bit more flexibility, but I don't think it's something we're going to have to worry about for a while.
Me neither. Consider designing the Lawrence Street Bridge to match to... No, consider designing the Lawrence Street Bridge to be similar to the Newberry Street Bridge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, to me, that gives you more flexibility. But
absolutely, yeah.
And again, that comes back to City Council and when that's going to happen. Okay. Page 21. Well, we're going to start getting down the fun stuff here now. Under 3.5, correct and prevent erosion of the railroad right-of-way.
Is that our responsibility?
Well, what I had put here is discuss with Norfolk Southern the erosion of the railroad right-of-way. I mean, they're going to be as concerned about that as we are. And if the right-of-way falls in, they lose the railroad. So instead of correct and prevent, but discuss with them and then take it to the next step.
Increase the number of residents. That's their goal. An old Aiken.
Can we go over what we mean by medium density?
Ed?
Zoning ordinance now, low density is 7 units an acre. Medium is a little more than that. But again, I'm trying to think back. I think the thinking was that medium density would include attached housing, maybe an apartment, something more intense than detached single family.
Ed, you said low density is seven units per acre.
Or the way it's defined in the comprehensive plan right now is about 7 units an acre. Or low density, 7 units per acre and less is low density.
Oh, yeah. Did they come up with the medium? Or did we tell them what medium meant on that term? Because medium density to me is not 7 units an acre. It's more like 3 or 4. Single family to me is 1 or 2. Medium would be 4, something like that. 7 seems to be a little high, but what I'd consider medium.
We did not define the form. I mean, this is their product, and there was no definition. They didn't attempt to define it either.
I don't want to put words in their mouth, but I guarantee you median to them was not 7 units an acre. It's because everything I've been reading through, everybody wants to go to single family, attached, and medium density. Now, you can have RS6, which is detached, is it not? And you can get how many units per acre
that's
on that?
7.
7. That's, well, that's...
But again, you start looking at RS6 and you start adding roadways and stormwater and open space, you can't get 7 units per acre on RS6.
That's where it came from, was the RS, the higher density for the detached units. So
I just think, especially when you're talking about infill lots, that medium, what technically medium density means is too much for infill lots.
Jane, where that's coming from is, and we ran into it on Chesterfield Street, you can't, it has to be zoned RS6 because you'd be, every one of those houses would be, the lots are so small and your setbacks are such that every one of them would have a zoning variance. If it was RS1 is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. RS15, they do qualify. I think this is that not true, Ed? Most of them would probably qualify at RS6, but not a lot of them at RS15. I know, like the Chesterfield, the existing homes. I think that's what they were trying to get to, that they if you're going to do encourage housing, you know, the smaller lots that are already down there, the RS6, which, quote, is a medium density from our zoning, is where they were coming from. So I understand what they were doing. But they don't want, I don't think, multifamily or, 12 to 15 units per acre, which is high density.
But if you have a downtown block that's all single family and is not tiny little lots, mm-hmm. I don't want to see on one vacant lot in a block like that 7 or 8 units allowed. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's not compatible.
But Roger's point is, you got to have setbacks and all that, so it'd be very difficult to. You could have a nice patio design with, if it's done right, you could get 6 or 7 units, but they're all attached and they got walls and they got all kind of stuff. So. I'm just saying, I know what we ran into on Churchfield Street, trying to redo homes, and with the setbacks at RS15, you almost have to go to RS6, or else everybody would be asking for, if something happens, you'd have to ask for a variance. So,
could we just not say promote the development of housing on infill lots and other appropriate sites, and then treat every situation individually and see what we need to do in each block? And, that implies... I don't think we have to get into that, but just say promote the development of housing on infill lots and other appropriate sites.
Well, when you just say infill lots, there are going to be different sizes of lots.
Exactly.
That's what you're saying,
exactly.
I think, Jane.
Yeah.
I think what they're saying here, though, Jane, is they want to promote the conversion of suitable vacant commercial lots, right, and institutional structures to medium-density residential use. In other words, not the residential stuff. Like if you got a commercial site downtown, they want to promote more residents on that site. In other words, take the...
I thought appropriate sites meant where the zoning was appropriate.
Well, you can put...
I think the intent here was not what may be zoned properly right now. I mean, there may be a site now that's not zoned properly that's appropriate for medium density housing. Again, you kind of have to keep zoning separate from the current zoning separate from some of this.
This might have come from because of the SCNG property that's an office on Chesterfield, that I thought that would be a nice site to put some medium density homes. In other words, that's what our plan, the plan which we all looked at, that had to try to promote residential units there, which would be a medium density, either patio homes or something. That's where I think it came from, Jane, but I'm guessing.
Any changes you want for?
You could certainly leave it promote, but if you can't do it, you can't do it.
So it really, you still have to meet all the zoning issues anyway. Yeah.
If you change the medium density and just said residential housing and left that way.
And then just leave the rest of it.
And then you could decide at the point in time when it comes up.
And okay. Residential uses would be RS6, so.
Yeah. You want to do that?
Yeah.
Just take out medium density?
Mm-hmm.
And we probably have to take out part of that last sentence, too, where it talks about sites shown on future land map as multifamily, single family attached to increase population density. We're just not going to know till we have that issue come up, and the size of the lot, and a commercial lot can be small too. It can be a large one, it can be a small one.
I I don't understand what 4-4, what are we trying to do there? Ed, do you know?
4-4?
Yeah.
I think the intent there is to reserve the first floor of buildings in the area that's colored red on the future land use map for retail.
Mm-hmm.
Don't allow any residential in that red area on the first floor. You have it on your second floor or third floor, but keep the first floor reserved for retail. I believe that's the intent. Unless you go to the zoning board for approval.
Well, if they wanted it on the first floor, they'd have to go to BCA, right?
That's good.
But are residential uses allowed in commercial zones?
It is in DB. In general business, there's a limit of 50% of the project that can be used for residential. But in DB, downtown, there's no limit. You can have any residential you want. This would just institute a policy or requirement that you couldn't have it on the first floor. It would have to be on the upper floors. In the areas colored red on
the I think the feeling was, did you remember when Joe Riley talked to the Municipal Association about how that building catty-cornered from the market? They wanted to put offices all the way down to the bottom, and he said no, he was opposed to it because he wanted to see commercial uses that would draw people down that street toward other commercial uses, and felt that if there were blank offices, that there was nothing to draw people down the street. I think that was, I think that's where that, that's the kind of thinking that you're talking about, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. You know, the other thing it does for you, too, is at least it gets people living down there somewhere, whether they're on the second floor or first floor.
Well,
they're living
true.
Downtown. Mm-hmm. They're not leaving at the end of the day. And nobody's in that building either.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Any other changes to number 4? In number 5, this is the area where we had a lot of our discussions early on in relationship to the land plan. Where you all had made the statements that we want to use the map as a guideline for future planning. And so again, we need to see how do we want to change number 5 in relationship to what we did on the land planning. Again, understanding the land plan, we're not going to make any changes unless the landowner wants to go ahead and make those changes.
Well, we've got to strike this change existing light industrial zoning between. We got to change the wording there because we all have stated, majority of the council stated, we're not going to change people's zoning. So I mean, we got to change that.
Where are you talking about, Pat?
I'm talking about 5.1B. Rezone property to single family residence where appropriate. B, change existing light industrial zoning between Colleton and Park Avenues to residential single-family or residential single-family fourth, but allowing only 2 horses per acre. Now, I know there's one gentleman here who was definitely interested in that 5.1B, and I don't think, the way that's worded, I don't think we want to allow that wording. I mean, that's, we're saying change it. Right?
One gentleman and one lady.
One gentleman and one lady.
Yeah, that right.
Right. One lady and one gentleman. Got that right, huh?
So I guess what I'm saying is I'm not for the wording in B to that, you know, about changing existing zoning. I mean, I think we need to put the wording that everybody's agreed to. If the current owners would want to change it to the use which we
And I think we had some discussion about whether we felt like the best idea was horse anyway. I can't remember exactly what we said, but did we all feel like the horse use was the proper...
No, that was taken out.
That was taken out.
Yeah, it's taken out.
But 5.1 says rezone property to single-family residential where appropriate.
Why don't we do
this?
Doesn't
that just kind of...
Why don't we do this? And this whole thing, we went through that whole everything about what we... And just put in the statement that if the current owners request zoning to the appropriate land use, which is in the land plan, that it would be submitted to the through the chat. You know, put that statement in there, Roger.
You mean to the effect that we want it to go from residential to commercial or residential?
Yeah, in other words, what I'm saying is that whatever all those 6 months or 8 months of work we did going out over each particular thing, that this statement would say if the current owners of the property request a zoning change to the new downtown master plan, Old Aiken master plan, that it would be submitted through the normal rezoning. And then I think we may want to put in there about how proactive we're going to be at doing that. And that gets into another situation.
Well, if you went under 5.1A and use the wording, if the owner requests a future rezoning, change existing residential multifamily zoning between Colleton and Park Avenue to residential single family.
Or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we had designated those areas mm-hmm. for weeks, you know, saying that yeah. multifamily should be residential. But if we put in front of each of these, and we may have to change it as we go along, but if the owner requests a future rezoning, then change existing area to what this
yes,
change,
which is what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now we still got to get to the point, Mr. Mayor, of how proactive we're going to be with that, about sending letters to each individual person and saying, "Do you want to request?" And then they'll go through the proper procedure, and
right.
we'll go
right.
through zoning, and everybody get them talking yep. about it again. But I mean,
and we said early on we would do that.
I think. Yeah, that would be my vote, but I'm thinking there was some, I want to speak to the rest of the council, there was some question about whether we should even do that from other independent. There was some discussion about that.
Oh, okay. I thought it was pretty well. Well,
I mean, I'm for doing
yeah,
that. About.
Yeah. Well, we can revisit that when we...
Okay.
Okay, everybody like Roger's wording?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Do you understand that wording, Betty and Bob?
In other words, it gets back to exactly what we talked about, that no zone is going to be changed unless the individual requests it.
And when we have a situation where, say, an area is improving and there's a lot that's not maintained, it's an out-of-town landlord, we try to contact them, we can't get response. Then I could see a scenario where the city council might be more assertive. Because there are situations like that, are there not, Sandra, where you just can't, you don't want to have one lot that's a blight on an area just because we can't get hold of somebody.
Well, we have ways to deal with that.
Take
the yellow house and the...
Yeah, we have standards for lots and homes that if they're not being maintained, the city can go ahead, post it, give them so many days. And if nothing's done, then we go in there, we hire someone to get it done. And we do that every year, a number of lots.
Good.
It's a long process, but we've done that for a number of years.
I believe they're doing that now. They've got one of the retired people doing that. You know, Doc's doing it now, taking a survey.
I'm sorry, Don, what was that?
So we have one of the retired volunteers is doing a survey for Pete now, I believe, on...
Abandoned
houses,
right.
And
stuff.
Senior
attacks.
Right.
Okay. Okay. I'm not sure I have a problem with the way it's written, but I just want to ask y'all what y'all think. The dominant land use should be for detached single family dwellings. I'm talking about in the Old Aiken master plan. I don't know how much. You know, because the Old Aiken is our downtown, and I don't want to send a signal to our downtown merchants that you know, obviously we want, you know, we want to rezone everything. I'm just wondering about that statement, because a vibrant downtown is more than detached single-family residential.
I like the statement above it. I think it covers everything. Preserve and expand the, preserve and expand the detached single-family residential character.
I would rather scratch the dominant land use aspect of it, because I just don't think that sends the right
Well, just
statement.
Keep the first sentence and let go of the second one.
Yeah, we scratched that several months ago. We were
Good.
Intending on taking that out.
Good. Thank you.
Do we have time for the next page?
Yeah.
The next page is a continuation. Again, I think we need to change 5.1E, demolished dilapidated warehouses north of Park Avenue and east of Union Street, and where appropriate, rezone and develop. Again, if it's a warehouse that's substandard, we have some issues there that we have procedures to go through. I don't know what dilapidated warehouses they're talking about north of Park Avenue. And maybe there are some that need to be demolished.
You don't think he was talking about south of? It was north?
Does anybody know what specifically they're talking about?
Might be what Ed Wolf just bought, you know, by the farmer's market, that warehouse back there, which he's already cleaned up.
Could
across
be.
The street.
But it says warehouses.
Oh.
So I don't know if they're talking about Buzz Jackson's area. I mean, there's probably some in there. But again, I think that gets more into an issue of we've got codes for that. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's... I just wonder if it's appropriate to have this in here.
I
don't think so.
Well, that's what I'm struggling with. Where
I can't figure where it is east of Union. There are no. Is there a warehouse?
Yeah, there's another one. There's another one next to the old Aiken Built Supply, that red one. Between there and Jones Supply, there's a big warehouse.
You know where Buzz Jackson had his stuff by the farmers market. There's several areas. Some are in code. Some are not in code.
But it says. Well, certainly east of Union, but that's a long way from Union. I mean, east of Union to me would be, are they talking about? All the way from Union. From Union on. Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm not too sure of any warehouses until you get to Williamsburg. Between Union and Williamsburg.
All right, so what they're saying is, In that area from Union to Park, they don't want any warehouses in the base at the old lake. And
But again, unless it's substandard in some fashion that's got a code violation, this is a pretty strong word: demolished, dilapidated warehouses.
Yeah.
And what we may think is dilapidated to that owner, it may not be.
I think we ought to just let the codes, the existing regs, take care of this.
This is so specific.
I mean, to this one little area.
Could we make a statement about, maybe we need more staff or something in order to enforce the existing building codes. Is that a problem or not?
We have one full-time person. I mean,
well, fine. I mean, if it's not a problem, then just don't do it. But if it is, then...
Why don't we delete it?
Why don't we delete that one? F is okay, but...
I hate to mention this because we're having so much fun here, but I've got to go to dinner.
Well, I've got to go home.
At 6. It starts at 6:30, and it's right around the corner. But if we could cut this off in a couple of minutes, Betty, would you like to say something?
I don't want to interrupt. You moved on from the Friday morning. But I didn't understand one thing when we were there, that the wording about if the current owner requests a zoning change, I thought was going to be inserted just for A, or was it going to be inserted for each one of those A, B, C? Do you see what I mean?
I thought it's different.
I thought the single family course in B was changed at some point.
thought you had dropped the horse part from the last meeting.
We did. We took that out.
We took that out.
That comes out.
Okay, and the qualifier that goes with 5-1, does it apply to all of those?
Okay, 5-1A, 5-1B, and 5-1D would all have this added to it in the very beginning. If the owner requests a future rezoning, then change existing residential, then change existing light industrial, then rezone the property occupied by Stony Homes. So, but this only qualifies if the owner requests a future rezoning, then it would go back to what the land use plan that you develop shows.
Would it also go through city council?
Yes, they all have to go to the city council.
Yeah.
Well, Stony Homes. I must be confused about where Stony Homes are exactly.
Barnwell, right opposite Schofield Middle School.
That's the two-story brick building.
That's correct.
Okay, and who owns that property?
Aiken Housing Authority.
Aren't they planning to renovate those?
They're planning to put about $1 million worth of renovations into them.
Bill, have you seen those plans?
No. I haven't either.
So. Okay, and y'all ready to quit?
So we'll start back up at 5.2.
Correct.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
Do you want to set a date? If we don't set one, we
can't do that Monday because you got three people here.
Why don't we be looking at a date?
Okay.
In a couple
the week
weeks.
Of the 21st
two,
would be in.
2 weeks.
We don't have council that week.
I've got something that night, but
we'll talk about it Monday. I'll come up with a couple of dates that okay. I'll talk to the planning department.
Okay. We stand adjourned. Okay.